Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I'm Konstantinos, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining Eurobank Holding conference call to present and discuss the third quarter 2020 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fokion Karavias, CEO. Mr. Karavias, you may now proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to the Eurobank's third quarter results presentation. Together with me is our CFO, Harris Kokologiannis, and the investor relations team. I will start from an overview of recent developments before we present our results. As we all know, the second wave of the pandemic has hit European countries, including Greece, resulting in partial or horizontal lockdowns and a deterioration of the economic outlook. Depending on the pandemic evolution, and in an effort to minimize the adverse effect on consumption, the Greek government intends to open up retail in December in time for the holiday season. In this environment, estimates on economic contraction in 2020 have come closer to adverse scenarios of around 10%. On the positive side, it appears that the end of the crisis is within sight, as news from the vaccine front confirm. In the meantime, state and EU support remains very strong, as measures and liquidity facilities announced so far add to 25 and 80 billion euros respectively. Borrowing conditions for the state continue favorable, with yields at historically low levels, while the public sector cash buffer is maintained at a comfortable level around 30 billion euros. Additionally, we see foreign direct investments in a number of sectors, such as data centers, in a number of Greek corporates, in the hotel and leisure sector, and in commercial real estate. For the banking sector, liquidity remains ample, income generation is resilient, but the main challenge would be the asset quality in 2021 following the expiration of the current moratoria. Now let's see our financial results for the 9 months 2020 as highlighted on slide 4. Our recurring net profits in the first 9 months of the year reached 348 million euros, of which 172 in the third quarter. Corporate provision income was up 5% on a year-on-year basis, but 5% down from the previous quarter. This is mainly due to net interest income, as the Cairo loans deconsolidation deprived us from the related interest income. Commissions increased by 10% year-on-year and 8% from the previous quarter. Operating expenses were down 5% year-on-year in Greece. We concluded a voluntary exit scheme for 800 employees in early October, and as a result, we expect staff costs to continue declining. Additionally, we have further reduced our branch network in the country by another 15% to reach 300 branches. We will channel a significant part of the savings in accelerating the digital transformation of the bank and the upgrade of core banking systems in some of our subsidiaries. Turning now on asset quality, metrics were further improved from the previous quarter. The NPE ratio declined to below 15% in the last quarter, while the cost of risk ratio was 1.5% in the 9 months period. The accumulated provisions increased further the coverage ratio to 62.5% of NPEs. Regarding capital adequacy, our total capital ratio increased by 10 basis points from the previous quarter and stands at 16.6%. Moving now to our customers, we continue to support our clients' liquidity with new loan disbursements. The net organic increase in our performing loans reached 1.5 billion euros in the first 9 months. We are in the process of disbursing an additional 0.7 billion euros under the Hellenic Development Bank programs, most of which will materialize before year-end. Overall, our core pre-provision income remained resilient and in line with the guidance provided last May. Furthermore, in line with our guidance is the cost of risk at 1.5%, that is 60 basis points higher than our estimate before the pandemic outbreak. This level of cost of risk has allowed us to boost the coverage ratio to 62.5% in anticipation of the 2021 pandemic effect on asset quality. On this front, we are developing a comprehensive strategy, as we will discuss shortly. As a final remark, we introduce a segmental analysis of the European Group as shown on slide 10. This analysis confirms that earnings and returns on employed capital are diversified and well-balanced. It also highlights the strength of our regional subsidiaries, which together with our investment property portfolio consistently deliver return on tangible book value close to 10%. Post the pandemic effect, as the cost of risk in Greece normalizes, the Greek banking business will also achieve similar returns. I'm confident that this business model makes Eurobank unique among its local peers, and this will be further reflected in market perception. At this point, I would like to ask our CFO, Harris Papalogiannis, to present our 9 months results before opening the Q&A session.
Thank you, Fokion. Starting from our balance sheet, in the third quarter, 7.5 billion euro Cairo loans have been deconsolidated and senior notes of 2.4 billion have been recognized as an asset on our balance sheet. Furthermore, Cairo mezzanine and junior notes of 58 million euro fair value have been distributed to our shareholders through Cairo SPLC shares, and trading has commenced in the Athens Stock Exchange alternative market. Let's now provide some more insight on the third quarter results. Starting from funding and liquidity on page 8. As shown at the right part of the page, group deposits increased in the third quarter by 1 billion euro. Furthermore, as shown at the left, the bank is making use of 8 billion euro TLTRO at a rate of minus 100 basis points. In combination with deposits increase, this has led to a substantial decrease of market repos in the last 12 months by 5.2 billion euro and to a commensurate reduction of funding cost. Net loans to deposit ratio receded in the third quarter to 80.1% and LCR ratio increased to 122%. Moving on page 16 on lending growth. During the first 9 months of 2020, the performing loans organic growth amounted to 1.5 billion euro, driven by the Greek business portfolio and international. Taking into account the 0.7 billion second tranche of state guaranteed loans, the majority of which will be disbursed by the end of the year, organic growth for 2020 is expected to reach 2 billion euro. Moving to profitability on page 18, net interest income decreased quarter on quarter by 5.2% to 331 million euro. This is due to Cairo loans deconsolidation with an impact of 28 million euro. This effect was mitigated by the higher interest income from new performing loans and the TLTRO. As regards deposit margin, the impact from the significant decline of client rates has been offset by higher volumes and the further decline of Euribor. On a year-on-year basis, net interest income is lower by 1%. On page 19, commission income increased quarter on quarter by 8.3% to €95 million due to the recovery of network activities and credit cards related fees. Furthermore, capital markets, bank insurance and rental income showed positive readings as well. On a year-on-year basis, commission income is higher by 10.1%. On page 20, operating expenses are lower year-on-year by 2.5%. This is despite the base effect of the merger with Grivalia and the acquisition of Piraeus Bulgaria. In Greece, costs are lower by 5.6% and particularly staff by 11.3% due to reduced headcount and rationalization of related expenses. As regards our initiatives to reduce costs, we have further contained our branch network in Greece to 300 branches compared to 350 at the end of 2019. Furthermore, in October, we concluded a voluntary exit scheme for 800 people. The related cost amounted to €122 million before tax, has been included in full in third quarter results. The related savings reached €35 million on an annual basis. Going forward, part of the above savings will be channeled to the acceleration of digital transformation, the replacement and upgrade of our core systems, and the enhancement of our clients' experience. Further on pre-provision income, on page 5, on the top left of the page, core PPI decreased quarter on quarter by €11 million or by 4.8% as a result of Cairo loans deconsolidation, which offset commissions increase. On a year-on-year basis, core PPI is higher by 5.1%. Pre-provision income increased significantly to €397 million due to strong trading income from Greek government bonds. Moving on asset quality on page 6, as shown on the top left of the page, NPE formation was slightly negative in quarter by €46 million, driven by the mortgage portfolio. NPE ratio decreased to 14.9%, while NPE coverage increased further by 190 basis points to 62.5%. Cost of risk over net loans amounted for the nine-month period to 1.5% and loan provisions for the quarter to €155 million. Moving on the loans under moratoria and on page 22, our priority is to take timely action to address any cliff effects and minimize new inflows when the moratoria expires at the end of 2020. Specifically, as shown at the right part of the page, a granular portfolio segmentation is followed, enabling us to group together borrowers with similar characteristics and then apply similar treatment. In this context, the Gefira program, which provides up to 90% installment subsidy for a period of 9 months, is an important tool for mortgage borrowers as it bridges the period between moratoria and the return to full payment pattern. Based on the up-to-date approved applications to the program, the take-up for the bank is expected to reach approximately €1.3 billion value of mortgage loans. For households which are not eligible for Gefira subsidy, the gradual restoration of payment patterns will be pursued through step-up programs. For corporates and small business, their liquidity position is enhanced through state programs and bank lending as follows. First, the direct state support advance payment program amounting to €5.4 billion for the system, and then in new bank loans of €8.5 billion through state guarantees and development fund programs. The bank participates to these programs with €1.7 billion in new loans. Finally, as regards tourism sector, moratoria have been extended until the end of 2021 so as to address industry's cash flow seasonality. Moving on the capital position and on page 7, in the third quarter, total capital ratio increased by 10 basis points to 15.6%. The increase was driven by the organic result of the period and the decrease of RWAs, which offset the impact of the voluntary exit scheme. Fully loaded Basel III CET1 ratio amounted to 11.2% at the end of September, at par with the previous period. Before concluding my presentation, let me refer to the segmental analysis shown on page 10. Specifically, the key metrics of the major business segments of the group are presented together with the net profit evolution over the last quarters. We intend to update this slide and include in our results on an ongoing basis. It is evident from the analysis that our major subsidiaries in the region, as well as investment property segment, deliver consistently a return on tangible book value close or higher than 10%. Furthermore, it is shown that our earnings base is well diversified, with a significant part of group profitability generated outside the Greek banking landscape. Finally, post-COVID outbreak, considering a normalized and commensurate for our NPE ratio cost of risk, Greek banking business may also achieve similar returns. Some performance highlights of our investment property portfolio, Bulgaria and Cyprus, are presented in the pages 11 to 13. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
The first question is from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tim. Good evening, and thanks for the presentation. I have a few questions. The first one is on cost of risk and your guidance. I remember that you're guiding for 140 to 160 basis points. And if I'm not mistaken, this was based considering a cumulative GDP contraction between 20 and 21 of minus 2.5%. I'm aware that you show on slide 34 the projections by the European Commission. So in those numbers, you see a cumulative decline of 4%. Now, going forward, how are you seeing your projections on cost of risk, if there's any risk of further, one-off charges based on the changing GDP estimates? Just wondering if you're still sticking to the to your modeling based on the minus 2.5 cumulative. Then my second question is on asset quality. I appreciate your caller doing the call and the slides. Now, just wondering, looking at your loans and the moratoria, I mean, what is the idea you have, or what do you project in terms of defaults out of that 5 billion? And going forward, how is your strategy on further reducing the stock? I mean, there's always the talk about seeing the Greek banks with NPE ratios below 10%. I mean, considering what may happen next year, what are the options you have ahead? Is the extension of HAPS one, let's say, the base case scenario? Are you willing to do more outright sales of NPEs? Or, any color on this will be helpful. And I'll stay here, and then if there's anything else, I'll join the queue later on.
Okay, thank you very much for your questions. Let me start from the asset quality, and then Harris will answer the question about the cost of risk. So before going directly into your question about the moratoria, let me give you an overview of what we have seen in the third quarter, what we see as we speak for the fourth quarter, and then how we see asset quality evolving in the first half of 2021. So in the third quarter, as we saw on page 6, but also on page 24, when we have the loan segmental analysis, the NPE formation remains slightly negative, and the asset quality metrics were further improved from the previous quarter, NPE ratio declining to 14.9% as per page 6. It is also worth mentioning that the amount of loans in moratoria was stable as per page 22. Actually, it was slightly decreasing. Now, in the moving into the current quarter, the fourth quarter of 2020, we see that formation is expected to be slightly positive because of a few corporate accounts, but the improvement in the NPE ratio will continue, mainly due to write-offs. And we expect to end the year with an NPE ratio slightly above 14% compared to 14.9% in the third quarter. And let me also clarify that despite the fact that November in Q4 is a month of lockdown, we don't expect any increase in the loans under moratoria. Now, moving into next year, obviously our priority is to take the necessary action to manage any cliff effects when the moratoria expire at the end of 2020. Harris already mentioned what our strategy would be as per page 22 of the presentation, in which we show what we do per segment of the loans under moratoria. And we feel quite confident that we have a quite comprehensive strategy to minimize any inflow of NPs, of loans under moratoria into NPs. Now, answering your question directly, I think you appreciate that visibility remains low, but based on our base scenario, we see about 20% of loans under payment moratoria becoming NPs. This corresponds to an amount between, let's say, 1 to 1.2, 1.3 billion euros. This is gross inflows that we see in 2021. And this incorporates the inflows not only from the moratoria, but overall the inflows that we envisage for next year. Now, if we take into account the planned remedial actions and the respective outflows that we expect to have, the NPE ratio may increase by no more than 100 or 200 percentage points in 2021 versus December of 2020. I already mentioned that we expect to end December with an NPE ratio above, slightly above 14%. Therefore, the NPE ratio that we may see by the end of next year is in the area, let's say, of 15.5%. And this assumes that we have no major transaction of sale or securitization in 2021. Now, going forward and answering the second part of your question, our target remains for a single-digit NPE ratio, most likely in the following year, in 2022. Therefore, summarizing our expectations about the NPE ratios, we see by the end of this year a ratio slightly above 14%, a ratio circa 15.5% in the end of 2021 with the assumption of no major transactions taking place next year and single digit in 2022.
Now, as regards the cost of risk, we expect for the full year 2020 cost of risk to reach 160 basis points, in line with the guidance we provided during the previous quarters. This represents an increase of approximately 80% versus the pre-COVID estimate of 90 basis points. Or to translate that in euro terms, it is an additional amount of approximately 300 million euro. As a result, we have been able to capture the expected deterioration in asset quality, as well as the deterioration of the macro following the recent developments, by increasing the NPE coverage ratio to 62.5%. And this is a level higher than we initially expected in the middle of the year, basically due to the better evolution of the NPEs. At any case, this level should not be considered as a new normal, but let's say as a buffer against new flows and new flows of in 2021, and coverage is expected to return to approximately mid to 2019 levels. I would say close to 55% coverage within next year.
Okay, thanks. Just one quick follow-up. In terms of staging of the loans, shall we expect any more meaningful reclassification between stage one and stage two now into the fourth quarter or maybe Q1 2021?
Actually, the priority as well, that was also expressed by SSM on that front is to manage effectively the cliff effects. And I would say all our strategy is concentrated to that front. The solutions that you are providing actually address the temporary liquidity shortage of our clients and not permanent financial difficulties. In that aspect, we don't expect any meaningful reclassification from stage one to stage two.
Thank you.
Mr. Mehmet, can you hear us?
Hi, sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thanks very much for the presentation, and sorry for that. Just a follow-up to the previous question. Do I understand it correctly that your expectation of the 20% NPE inflows from moratoria would be without the remedial actions such as the EFIRA program, etc.? And when we consider those, then you would expect around 1 to 2% increase in the NPE ratio next year.
Yeah, let me clarify that. The 20% default out of the moratoria, which translates into 1 billion euros to 1.3 billion euros inflows. These are the gross inflows that we expect, taking into account actions like the EFIRA program, or the step-up programs that we may offer to our customers. But you should take into account, in addition to the gross inflows, any outflows that we may have because of curing of loans or liquidation of collaterals. And therefore, the net effect on the NPE stock is expected to be this 100 to 200 basis points, actually 200 percentage points, 200 basis points increase that I mentioned before. Is this clear?
That's very clear. Thanks very much. Just a few more questions then from me. It's quite interesting to see the lending spreads have remained resilient, as you show on page 17, despite the good disbursement trends in the sector, I would assume. So could you share any more color on those? And do you think the lending yields and spreads have found the floor, at least for now? And secondly, given the second wave of lockdown that we have also increased now, are you sticking to your 840 million PPI guidance for this year, given we may see further impact on fees, et cetera, in the last quarter? And just one final question from me on your cost of risk guidance. Given you're saying that you may see single-digit NPEs in 2022, can we assume that this is the normalization year in your base case, so that it may take until then to return to your original pre-COVID-19 cost of risk guidance of 90 basis points?
Sure. You noted correctly that in the third quarter, the spreads have followed a quite flattish trend, especially the business part of the portfolio, and this is related to the new lending, especially the ones related with the state support program. Having said that, in our projection, in especially for next year, we cannot exclude, let's say, a sweet decline of a mild decline of spreads at the area of let's say 10 to 20 basis points, specifically on the business portfolio. Now, turning to the profitability and the core PPI trend, let me provide you an outlook of the core PPI components for the rest of the year. So, starting from net interest income, as we see on page 18, and as I said before, in the third quarter, the most negative effect is coming from the Cairo deconsolidation, which has been partly offset by the new loan production and the TLTRO. So we can say that approximately third quarter constitutes the new base of our net interest income. For the full year 2020, we reiterate our previous guidance for a low single-digit decline, something between close to minus 3%, I would say. As regards commission income on page 19, net commission income increased quarter on quarter by something more than 8% due to the resumption, the recovery of network activities and credit cards issuing and acquiring fees. On a year-on-year basis, commission income is higher by 10% due to the impact of Grivalia and the higher network and cards-related fee. And considering the performance of the third quarter and our expectation and evidence for the fourth one, we may revise our guidance for 2020 slightly upwards, envisaging a medium to high single-digit growth. Previously, we referred to a low single-digit growth for fees and commissions. And finally, on operating expenses, for the 9 months, operating expenses are lower by 2.5% year-on-year, while in Greece, costs are lower by 5.6%, as you may see on page 20, on the right part of the page. Specifically, staff costs lower by 11.3% due to reduced headcount. Now, in the fourth quarter, operating costs should be expected slightly higher due to seasonality, and this is a pattern of the previous years as well. For the full year 2020, we reiterate here as well our guidance for group OPEX to be lower year-on-year by a low single-digit rate, something between minus 3 and minus 4%. Overall now, for the core pre-provision income for the full year 2020, as a result of slightly better performance, mainly on commission income, we may revise our guidance upwards to 850 million euro compared to 840, that was the previous one, and 830 in 2019. Now, regarding the third leg of your question as regards the normalization of cost of risk, of course, everything depends on the evolution of the pandemic, but if there is some normalization
of the real economy in 2021, then we may assume that we may approach a normalized cost of risk in 2022.
Thanks very much.
The next question is from the line of Memisoglu Osman with Ambrosia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, many thanks for your time. Just on the international operations, would it be possible to give us a bit more color? You walked us through the asset quality very nicely, I'm guessing for the whole business. What's the outlook for the international operations, specifically on asset quality, but any other part that particularly if you think it's going to be different than the operations in Greece, either in NII front or OPEX front. Thank you.
Okay, let me give you some color about the asset quality in Bulgaria and Cyprus, mm-hmm. where we have most of the exposures, and then Harris will give you some information about the evolution of the income and the expense line. Mm-hmm. First of all, although Greece is experiencing a period of lockdown, Bulgaria and Cyprus keep their economies open, or they apply some partial lockdowns in a small number of cities. In Bulgaria, the percentage of loans which are under moratorium is similar to the percentage that we have in Greece. Moratoria there are going to end in December of 2020, and we have reviewed a strategy very similar to the one that we described for Greece, and we feel quite confident that we should not expect any major deterioration of asset quality in this country.
Mm-hmm.
In Cyprus, in which we have a couple of cities under partial moratoria, again the moratoria are expiring in December of 2020. However, we have a larger percentage of customers or of loan balances which are under moratoria versus Greece. However, the relevant data that we follow show a significant part of the borrowers exhibit credit positive behavior, either they continue to service their loans even if they are under moratoria, or they have increased deposits, or they maintain an active overdraft account. One key difference that you should keep in mind between Greece and the two countries that I mentioned is that in Greece we had private sector moratoria, which were initiated by the Hellenic Banking Association. In the case of Bulgaria and Cyprus, we had state-induced moratoria, and this explains the higher percentage in Cyprus. Overall, we are quite optimistic about the evolution of the asset quality in both countries. Now, Harry, on the...
regarding the profitability overall, last year, 2019, closed with international net profit after tax before our notes at €170 million. This year should be expected to be, I would say, close to 25% lower, in the area of €130 million, affected by mainly two factors: the decrease of commission income as a result of the local lockdowns, as well as the decrease of spreads in the corporate lending portfolio in the countries. As regards next year, we should expect a mid-single-digit growth in net profitability coming from the income side, while cost of risk will remain at mainly due to COVID outbreak elevated levels, close to 1%, which for international is
quite high cost of risk ratio. A return to pre-COVID profitability levels for international should be expected most probably in 2022 with a profitability approximating 160 million euro yen.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Karavias for any closing comments. Thank you.
Let me thank you for your time and for participating in our conference call. Let me also thank you for your questions. We will be available for any follow-up clarifications, questions, remarks in the coming days. Thank you.